Come on, Norstrakenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 132 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, April 17th. This is Aaron, and this episode we talk about 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 3. In the studio with me, as always, is Kenny.
Oh, man. I have to laugh. It hurts so much that humor is the best way to get over the pain, right?
It's brutal. It's brutal. And always, Mr. Jive, Midnight, how you doing?
Hey.
We shouldn't be so somber. We're not playing Taps yet. Yeah.
Next week.
It's been a brutal week in wild territory here. You know, the state of hockey has been a rough week. Weather been pretty nice.
Yeah.
Had Easter. Yeah. Happy Zombie Jesus Day, you know?
I got out. The times that I had to actually get out, I did a few runs. It felt nice. Enjoyed the sun beating on my pale face.
I got roped into making some planter boxes for the wife. And
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Because last I saw, we were watching a guy try to cut down a tree with a chainsaw. That was not working.
Yeah, he spent like 3 hours trying to hack away at a stump that was like 6 feet high.
See, now, if you were really useful, you would have went over, helped him with his stump. You would have taken that
stump. Do I look like a stump grinder?
You would have taken that stump that...
Just a grinder.
That you helped him, you know, remove, and then you would have turned that stump into a planter box.
Wow, yeah, that's not going to happen. I ain't got time to do my own yard work, let alone help someone else with their stump that they could have got rid of years ago.
Wow,
this stump had been sitting there
years. That's real Minnesota nice of you.
All three of us have been camping together. We're not removing any stumps.
No.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Cut it down and burn it? Sure.
We don't cut it down. We'll just burn it in place.
Well, there is that,
too. I would have participated in that.
Yeah.
See, okay. And I did tell Aaron. I actually mentioned to him, I was like, you should be a nice neighbor and go over there with a can of gas and a book of matches.
Right. Yeah. But he is a former pastor, so I don't want any, you know, especially on Zombie Jesus Day, I don't want any, I don't want any flack from him.
Think he's got a voodoo doll in there or what?
I don't think that's how right. Lutherans work,
okay.
Generally speaking.
Generally, yeah.
Maybe those weird Caribbean Lutherans, but I don't think many of those exist. You know.
So let's get into some disappointment.
Let's talk about this terrible week here.
All right, let's go.
So it's playoffs. In case you missed the word.
Oh.
We're in the middle of the
playoffs. What did the bird say about the word?
That said a bird is a word.
The bird is the word?
Yes.
The bird,
yes.
Bird is the word?
Isn't this where we're supposed to start fighting?
Only if you're on Family Guy.
Right. over this week, three wild games, all three losses.
Two at home.
Two at home, one on the road.
Middle of Easter.
Both the home games will lose 2-1, and actually the game yesterday would have been a 2-1 had it not been for the empty net. So,
right.
Wild have scored three goals cumulatively over this period. Dubnyk's given up 6 goals, so not horrible. I mean,
no.
Anytime you got a two-goal game average, that's... would be pretty good in most.
Sorry,
most
I had to do math for a second. My brain stopped working. I was like, 6 goals, yeah, 2 in an empty net.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's real hard math. game one, Parisi scores a last minute goal when we had pulled.
Literally last minute.
Yeah. Pulled Dubnyk, brought in overtime. Tarasenko buries it and.
End of story there.
There were some very excited expletives that happened. When he scored that goal.
Yeah, Wild set a franchise record with, what, 53 shots on goal?
Yeah,
it was for the entire game.
For, yeah, yeah, for that first game. I mean, it was a game the Wild should have been able to win.
Yes,
they played like they should have been able to win.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing was happening for them. Game two, shots went way down.
They did.
It was a closer game.
But I think the Wild were still in the game.
Oh, yeah. Again, though, Parisi scores the lone goal for the Wild.
Yeah.
Yesterday's game, again, I think it was within reach for majority of the game.
I think they still own most of that game.
Yeah, I mean, they held an advantage. They just weren't doing much. We got a lot of skating around the perimeter. I know we tweeted about that yesterday. You know, a lot of perimeter skating, no one really collapsing on that. I know, Kenny, you and I had remarked that at one point there was three skaters behind the St. Louis net.
I mean, we had said that in our watch room.
Yeah.
And Russo tweeted it right after.
And it's like,
yeah,
you can score if your guys are all sitting behind the opposing team's net.
Pass it out front, right?
To who?
Oh, that's right.
Right.
I mean, you still have 2D up there that are playing on the blue line, so you got a chance, I guess, but...
Yeah. I don't know if I would blame it all on, you know, this, the single play where three guys are down below the goal line, but...
It's really indicative of what was going on, though.
Yeah.
But actually, since we're assigning blame... You know, we're in the middle of an unnatural disaster right now. If you're FEMA, who are you blaming for this disaster?
Right now?
Right now.
Trump. Oh, wait.
Make hockey great again?
Right.
Bettman. It's all Bettman's fault.
Who are you blaming? Are you blaming the forwards for not scoring? Are you blaming Dubnyk for letting up a couple softies? Are you blaming Boudreaux for trying to lose yet another first round?
Well,
are you blaming Fletcher for that trade of picking up Hansel and White, and now it's looking like it may have killed our momentum? Who are you laying the blame on?
I can't blame Dubnyk. You cannot blame a goalie for giving up 2 goals a game and still losing.
But you can fault the goalie for giving up soft goals, like. I mean,
but even great goalies give up soft goals from time to time. If you're going to nitpick every single goal a goalie gives up, you're going to find a lot of great goalies give up a lot of soft goals.
And you know, maybe it's because, you know, I've been sitting watching Allen on the other end, and, you know, his glove hand is like all over the place.
I feel
grabbing
like
pucks.
I feel like Allen is just like being showy, though. Like there was a goal, the one shot, I think it was Coyle in game one, where Allen, it was like Coyle literally shot the puck straight into Allen's glove.
Yeah, and he brings it and he raises it.
And it's like,
right.
It was not hard. He shot it right in your
fair
damn
enough.
Glove.
But if you sit and watch Allen's game and compare it to like Dubnyk's game, Dubnyk's a big body. He's going to sit in the net. He's going to take up a lot of space. But like,
Do you want him to come out like
you
who
won't?
Was
you,
it today?
But no, what I'm trying to say though is that like his glove, like his hands, he's not as agile and he doesn't, you know, move quite the same way. They're different types of goalies. I understand that, but you know, he's not going to make some of those flashy saves where like, you know, you would expect. And those are the kind of like flashy saves, like. Yes, it's close, but oh, our goalie is saving us right here, right now, you know?
Well, I mean, right now there's two goalies in the NHL that are actually doing, like, saving their team. You got Allen and you got Pekka Rene with Nashville.
Holtby's he's holding his own there.
Well, he didn't tonight, but he did have that save out in no man's land earlier tonight. But, I mean, Allen is doing his thing, and, you know, he wants to put a little flair on it. Obviously, it's insult to injury to the Wild right now. But, Aaron, going back to your question, I mean, we don't see that from Dubnyk because Dubnyk's not that type of player. I think Dubnyk is more of a...
He throws one of those out, you know, time to time where he's doing the, you know, the exaggerated glove save thing.
He's more of a down to business. I'm here to do a job. I want to get my job done, and I want to do my job right.
Yeah. Well, I think another big thing, though, is, you know, the Wilders, when they're on the offensive, in the offensive zone, they're doing the circle thing. And I know we've talked about this on Twitter, you know, the Wilder doing this perimeter game. And when they start circling, you see it a lot from like Coyle, but you might see it from Pominville or Stahl too, where they're just kind of skating around the perimeter.
I've seen it from Granny. I've seen it from Koivu.
But you'll see the Blues defense just suck right in on Allen. And that goes to show from the last game where there's so many damn blocked shots by the Blues. You know, they're helping Allen out tremendously defensively. And the Wild aren't doing themselves any favors by not getting in front of the net and not clearing that space out.
Well, and there's also, though, an art to, you know, protecting in front of the net. There's one thing to say to protect in front of your net and, you know, collapse down, be able to collapse down and block some shots. But then there's another thing where, you know, you're collapsing down by the net and say you're Christian Follin and you just barely get in the way of a shot and it just deflects it just enough to get past your goaltender.
Sure.
Right? I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, that's... you know, sometimes the guys in front of a goalie are a good thing, but if you're blocking your goalie's vision, if you're, you know, redirecting pucks, that becomes a hindrance to your goalie as well. And especially if you have a goalie who maybe doesn't quite have the same reaction time to react to, and that's another spot where I'm bringing up, like, with Dubnyk or, like, versus somebody like an Allen. If you've got Dubnyk and something gets redirected, I mean, Dubnyk is going to get to his position, and he's committed. Allen's going to get to his position if a, you know, shot is deflected or something, and he can still react a little bit more. That's so.
See, and you know, I don't know if I agree with that.
See, I look at it this
it's
way.
It's two different styles of goaltending. I understand.
I look at it this way. But if we switched goalies right now, would the series be 3-0 for the Wild at this point?
No.
If we had Stalock in there?
Kemper.
If we had Kemper. If we had
Allen. Kemper's the same goalie as Dubnyk.
If we had Allen and they had Dubnyk, would we be 3-0 for the Wild right now? I don't think we would be.
If we had Allen and they had Dubnyk?
Yeah.
I think that we actually might be.
No.
I don't think we would.
I think
we I don't think we're be. That solid defensively.
They're but pretty... I think offensively, though, some of those Wild shots on net would have gone in the goal.
Or you can make the argument that we're not that solid offensively, that
well,
it wouldn't matter.
True. Offensively, we've seen a lot off the pipes. We've seen a lot of, like, center chest shots from the Wild.
Yeah, we're not making it hard, I don't think, for Allen. There's been a few, like the one Parisi one in game one, where he basically stopped the puck from going over the line, where he was kind of like behind and
he had his
stick in the net and basically stopped a shot.
But I mean, there's been plenty that have been like wraparound attempts that have been off the pipe. I think we saw, what, one or two last game?
Yeah.
And then the game previous as well.
But that's, you know, you're going to have those. You need to get over that and you need to do something better.
Aaron, going off of your question, I mean, I would say offense would be what we need to look at right now. And going, you know, these guys need to be taking different shots. Like, obviously, Allen is blocking a lot of the onside shots. He's blocking all the shots that are right to his chest. Five holes not working.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, but if I'm FEMA right now, I'm not going to blame Dubnyk. I know I've been razzing a little bit on his style versus Allen's style.
Sure, sure.
And I'm not saying that Dubnyk has done a poor job. Actually, Dubnyk has, you know, he's held his own in there. Like you said earlier, you know, if your goalie's giving up two goals a game, I mean, that's, you know, means that you should at least be able to
score three.
You know, score something. I mean, if you can't score a couple goals a game, what are you?
Right.
I mean,
you're not a team that
right.
deserves a cup, that's for sure.
And so I'm going to go back in time a little bit, back to, you know, the trade deadline, back to when we brought in Hanzel and White. White, I have liked his play a little bit. I still, I don't know exactly how he fits into our team.
Right. For his role, he's been doing all right for what he is.
For what he is, right.
I just wear what's his spot, you know.
Hansel, I've seen him, you know, at times, like, it's like I see glimmers of hope, like, oh, maybe that's, you know, that's the style that, you know, we're bringing him in for. But for the most part, it's like he's just a big lumbering body out there that, you know, isn't providing much to the Wild's game.
Right. I mean, you look at the Blues' lumbering bodies. They at least clog shit up. Right. You know? Hansel is nowhere to be found.
No.
And he's slow to boot. Yep. He can't connect a pass. I don't know what his upside is at this point.
Right.
I have no idea what benefit he's giving to this team.
And I can't disagree with that. And I mean, I really hate that, you know, like Hansel is in here, yet somebody like Schrader has been, you know, kind of put on the back burners. You know, I think somebody like that was showing a lot of promise this year.
Erickson, liked in game two, and he wasn't playing in game three because right. I think White was back up.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think that, I'm really hoping that, you know, maybe Schrader gets a shot here still.
Well, I think
in the playoffs. So.
At this point, I think we're all pretty negative on our chances. I mean, we're all pretty realistic. I mean,
yeah, we were contemplating suicide earlier,
right? But at this point, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. I don't know that I can totally blame Boudreaux. He's probably pretty safe. Dubnyk, I think, is pretty safe. I think you can blame Fletcher a lot for that move, because I don't think the move ended up really helping us a whole lot.
It's going to change up chemistry among some of the lines that have started clicking.
Right, and I think you can blame the forwards. I think Coyle and Pominville have been pretty invisible or ineffective at the very least.
And
even guys that we've relied on, like Nino, at least he's trying to get to the middle, which is more than I can say for guys like Coyle in Pominville.
Well, Coyle did have that one where he was going towards the middle.
It was the one time he'd gone to the middle, I mean, and he scored, you know.
Honest question for you, Aaron, because, I mean, you're bringing it up with Fletcher in the trade.
Yeah.
If Fletcher did not make a trade, would we have been going, why didn't he make a trade? Why didn't he grab a guy that he could have? I mean, Hansel was looked like a safe bet on paper, to be quite honest.
Well, I remember after we made the trade, there was plenty of people saying, well, he's kind of slow. And I don't think that, you know, we kind of go, well,
that's not our team.
Right.
We're a fast team.
Right. I mean, you want to utilize that.
Yep.
And I don't think he didn't really have an MO of being a physical guy, which I could see getting a physical guy or someone who will just clog up, you know, in front of the net.
Right.
But that wasn't his MO.
And that's the thing is where we saw our season take a turn this year was right at the trade deadline, right? When you try to mix in these guys that, you know, you made some moves just to get in here, thinking that was, you know, going to be beneficial to your team. And then, you know, I don't know whose call it is, but, you know, my guess is that Boudreaux is then kind of like forced to play a hand here. Like, here's this guy, you're going to get him in here and you're going to play him. You know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm guessing Boudreaux had to have a say in who he wanted for a player. Because as the coach, as the guy who's controlling the guys on the ice, you know, he's the first set of management before it starts going up that chain to the GM. He's going to have a say.
Have we saw Hansel be, you know, healthy, scratched, or benched once he's been here?
No.
Yeah. They're probably on the hook for too much money that they're going to put them out there irregardless of whatever.
Okay, so obviously I think we all agree the Skaters, at least to some degree, are on the
Skaters
hook.
Skaters are not doing what they need to be doing.
But at this point, who would you say your least valuable player is?
You know, I really want to say Follin because he had some bad games. if we're talking forwards and D, just mm-hmm. skaters in general. But, I mean, the fact that he played very few minutes, but the minutes that he did play, especially that first game, it was bad. I mean, it was absolutely horrible. I mean, looking at some of the forwards, Hanzel, Aaron, I got to agree, like, he looked out of place. Like, he looked like he was lagging behind on some of the plays.
I
like,
wouldn't he put Hanzel there, though, because, I mean, that's the thing is there are a couple of glimmering, hopeful moments that you see from him.
Sure.
Like, where he'll take, like, a one-handed puck and somehow, you know, work it towards the net or
something.
That's
great, but when you have a potential, like, 3-on-2 happening and all of a sudden you've got one guy who is just kind of lagging behind because right. he can't keep up. Yeah. I mean, that's going to hurt because that's a scoring chance that you're missing out on, especially yeah. with these very close games and very low scoring games.
It's one thing if you got a 3 fat guy line, yeah. but when he's paired with 2 skinny guys and you're expecting like a breakaway, well,
yeah. all of a sudden he's the guy who you can't dish that puck off to your backside knowing that there's a guy there that right. that can tee it up because he's, you know, 40 feet behind the puck.
Right. So with that, Jeff, who's your pick for least valuable player?
For least valuable player this point in the playoffs, I would have to probably go, man, it's...
You got to pick one.
I have to pick one.
You have to pick one.
Because I think that everybody's...
No cops out. No cop outs.
Fairly well at this point. But yes, if I have to pick one... I'm going to go with, yeah, I'm going to have to say Hanzel as well. Ooh. As much as I wanted to, you know, try to, you know, say that, you know, he's kind of given something. I think that, you know, I don't know that I've seen him win as many face-offs as we're normally expecting from him.
He's been pretty invincible. Invisible, sorry, not invincible, invisible.
That's the exact opposite there.
Yeah, but he's been pretty invisible, like, most of the playoffs. Like, he hasn't been in on many big plays, and he hasn't been there when there's been scruffs happening. He's just yep. kind of been, he vanishes.
And so,
sorry, Jive, that's I didn't okay. mean to interrupt you.
No.
Well, while I think Hanzel has been not a non-factor, really.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Coyle. I know he scored a goal, but I've seen at least 3 times where he had there was some sort of breakaway. He was involved in a 2-on-3 or something like that, and he rode out that advantage and spent so much time on the perimeter that the defense collapsed in and we had nothing, or he just gave up the puck and there was not even a shot attempt. It's things like that. You need to put it on the goalie, especially that game one where Allen was giving up just juicy rebounds. Put it on net. Put it towards the goalie, and hope that one of your other guys that has some guts goes to the middle and tries to clean up that junk. You know, obviously we're not going to have that because of the way we're playing, but
we haven't seen too many guys sitting up the middle like to just clean that out.
And I got 2 things against what you're saying there. Number one, I think that Allen has been a freaking cookie monster, and he has been gobbling up pucks.
I think he's been unbelievably lucky.
He's given up a few rebounds, but I mean, a lot of times
I think there's been
a lot of shots though that he's been able to collect.
You don't get 52 shots on goal by gobbling it up.
No, you get 52 shots on goal by the Wild dominating the entire game.
He was giving up so many rebounds, it was not even funny.
I don't remember a lot of rebounds.
Like, he had rubber in his pads and it was just going boom, boom.
That's fine, but he was, you know, anything that's upper body, yeah. he's grabbing the puck, slowing down the game, just like that.
The Wild had so many chances to follow up something, and no one was in the middle.
Yeah.
Game one was such a winnable game, and that's the most depressing part of it.
Fair enough. We had momentum
after that Parisi goal with 22 seconds left. Yeah, we should have had that.
My other part, though, is I have heard a lot of bashing on Coyle.
From us?
Well, from you guys and from, you know, out and about. There's people who have bad things to say about him. But I think that, you know, one of the guys who I've at least seen, you know, that has been getting in there and getting more physical and bringing up his play, it's been Coyle. He's actually been using his body.
Too little, too late.
I disagree. I mean, this is a time of year when, you know, I mean, we see it. The attention is higher, gets a little bit more physical. I believe that, you know, as well as out shooting the Blues for the last three games, we have also been out hitting the Blues. And I think that Coyle is, you know, one of the pieces of that, that, you know, I think that he is bringing something to the team that, you know, a little bit of physicalness and, you know, maybe he doesn't have the greatest hands in the world, but he's got a little bit of speed and he can get in there and he can play. I don't agree with that one. So
I'm seeing Coyle right now as not the same player he was a few years back when he was playing against Chicago with two separated shoulders, where he was still out there, and I feel he was more of a physical presence then than he is now. I feel like he's holding back and almost afraid to get hurt. Kind of like the PMB thing after PMB got his concussion and he came back and he was a completely different player.
And just to give a counterpoint, Coyle has zero hits so far in the series. Zero.
I disagree.
According to Hockey Reference, he has zero hits.
Well, because I have seen some hits out there. They might not have all their stats.
I don't see Coyle being the same player he was a few years ago against Chicago in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because that's the Coyle. If we had that Coyle right now, we would not be down in this series 3-0. I can almost guarantee it.
His first playoff series back in 2012-2013, five games played, he had 13 hits. Next season, 13 games, 31 hits. Next season, 10 games, 32 hits. Last year, 6 games, 8 hits. This year, 3 games.
Yeah.
Bupkis.
This is not the same Coyle.
I'm down on Coyle right now. I want him to be the player he is.
I want him to be the player he was.
He needs to combine something. He needs to do something more. in chat, Derek Felsa goes, Coyle's been hit.
Yeah.
And I can't disagree with that because on that point, there's been a lot of hits on the Wild, but there's also been a lot of, me and Kenny were noticing in the game yesterday, a lot of ripping the helmet off of players. I know Coyle's had his helmet ripped off at least twice.
White did at least twice last game.
And I'm pretty sure I counted
a couple. Got to see the flow.
Yeah, all the greasy flow.
That was a real greasy flow. But we've had that now a few times. And obviously, we've been critical of the reffing in the series with O'Rourke in game one.
I don't think I've seen any St. Louis helmets on the ice.
No, you haven't.
So
we had O'Rourke in game one. Dan O'Rourke in game one. Brad Meyer in game two.
Brad's.
But at what point does the league care about, A, penalizing this ticky-tacky stuff of ripping helmets off of players, and B, care about the Goonier players doing that kind of stuff where that's not adding to the game at all, I don't think. I mean, I know people like watching that.
They do, but you want to know what? I have to say, watching in the playoff games here between the Wild and the Blues or any of the other playoff games that I've seen going on around the league, it gets old when it's after nearly every single whistle. There's some pushing, there's some shoving, and you know,
which is why you don't see too many penalties after that, though.
But it's ridiculous. I mean, it's you're wasting everybody's time, basically. I understand you want to clear out in front of your net. You want to make sure that people aren't like Brodziak coming in and do it with the dick move and blasting snow on Dubnyk's face.
That was game two.
Yeah, that was a real nice one, Brodziak.
But your former teammate.
Right.
Douchebag.
Yep.
How many goals you got? How many pipes do you have?
But really, I mean, I understand that the tensions are high. it's going to get a little bit more physical. You're going to have maybe a little bit more tempers flare, but it's almost made it so it's all right to just, like, you know, take and stick your glove in some guy's face at the end of the play. Doesn't really matter. If you're doing that during regular play and you go and you stick your glove in some guy's face, is that okay?
No, it's not. And this is where things are getting a little ridiculous, because the Wild have been playing, I would say, fairly clean. And they always have in the playoffs.
Not always. Matt Cook.
Generally speaking,
yes.
The Wild have been, like, they check a guy into the boards, they let him go, and what I see happens, I've been seeing it a lot this year, is it's not just checking a guy into the boards, it's holding him up and giving him a few extra shoves and then skating away. And it has been happening all series long so far, all three games I've seen.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Another thing I'm tired about is the interference that never gets called. It's like it makes the game. If you want scoring improved, call more penalties, because you know what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's going to clean up the
Gary
game.
Gary Bettman, I'm telling you, have your refs call more penalties. Scoring's going to go up.
They're either going to score on the power plays, or they're going to score when there's penalties not being committed.
And it's clean play.
Yeah, that are holding things up.
Right. I mean, it's really a no brainer, and why they aren't doing this. And I'm sure it's to appease the people that love the...
Well, they want to let them play.
That chirpy, grandy crap, but I don't know.
It's so predictable. It is. I like that, you know, when they get a little bit testy, but when, you know, it's not like after every play, but like it builds up and then all of a sudden, you know, okay, we got to do this because, you know, you guys have been, you know, busting our balls all night. We gotta do something here. But doing it after every single play makes it totally pointless.
It's kind of like the dropping the gloves at the puck drop, you know, during the period. It's like, okay, this is theater right now.
Yep.
But I mean, so you get all this going on, and most of this kind of subsides as a series as a series go on, because you see less and less of the chippiness.
Well, and
as you get closer to the cup.
Well, and I know I've been talking with people throughout the day, and you know,
Pittsburgh fans.
Well, fans in general, and I look at the Wild right now. Obviously, I'm pretty negative on them being able to advance past this round. In that same token, though, I don't think St. Louis is going to do well beyond this round, because I don't think they're that skilled outside of Tarasenko, Parayko.
No, Sabatka, they don't have it.
They've got a lot of guys that can kind of goon it up, but that really doesn't.
It's a team of agitators,
and that only will last for so long before they run up against a team that's talented enough to pierce through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we've seen that with St. Louis before, where they do it. The Wild have done it to
Colorado too. You know, where they play that kind of game, and the Wild just run over them.
Usually, it doesn't take this long into the series for it to happen.
But we've got Boudreau on the bench right now, so
this is true.
Things are different.
Maybe this is why he hasn't made it past the first round.
Hmm. Well, there is that too.
Was that our week in review? Wild lose.
Wait a minute, wasn't there? No, there wasn't.
No, that was the previous week.
Yep.
So on the other side of the ice.
So we'll go ahead and we'll get into our wild card.
Yeah.
So maybe not even necessarily on the other side of the ice, but on the other side of the bench.
Other side of the glass. Well, yeah. Not even glass. Other side of Pierre.
We've got...
Or Gord.
But Pierre is down there, I think, for all the games.
Oh, yeah. He sits in between there and mediates, right? Yeah. Is that what he does down there?
Your head's shinier than my head.
Yes.
Wait. Yes, my head's shinier than your head today.
You got a big stick.
Oh, hey, man. Wait. You're bald, too, and you have glasses.
All right. But so, yeah, on the other bench, we've got Coach Yo, former Minnesota Wild head coach. And Coach Yo, he's 3-0, right? I mean, he's done the trick here. You know, I mean, Coach Yo took over, what, mid-season for the St. Louis Blues this season?
Two-thirds of the way through, but yeah, yep. Mid-season.
Yeah, so, and he's had 22 wins in his in their last 32 games. That's not too shabby of a record, I must say. So if you're, you know, basing it off of that, I think that, you know, Yo is doing okay down there. So my question would be, I mean,
wait, my coach is okay, yo.
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 My coach is okay, yo.
Oh no. Oh no.
Sorry.
You went there. Boy. Did we get rid of our yo sample?
We did.
Who would have figured we'd have needed it in the playoffs?
I know. I apologize.
Okay, yo.
I apologize. Damn,
you know I'm gonna be singing this like for the next week. My coach is okay, yo.
Nope.
If anybody from St. Louis steals this, we're suing.
You can't do that.
So, I mean, so the Wild, you know, they clinched a spot in the playoffs. Of all the opponents that the Wild, you know, could have gotten in the first round. It ends up being the Blues. So, you know, was that maybe a little bit unfortunate for us that, you know, the Wild drew this card and here they're playing against the Blues who have the former Minnesota Wild head coach?
I'm just going to say this.
Who might know the Wild almost, you know, better than they know themselves?
Karma's a bitch.
Karma's a bitch. That's well said.
Well,
so
I think had this been
bald-headed bitch, but
I think had this been right when Yo took over that team, and the Wild were actually still playing pretty well, we'd probably be in a different position right now. I think it's convenient to think it would be different, but at the same point, it makes for a good story.
So
I'm pretty sure when we discussed when Yo got fired, we were like, we didn't think he was a bad coach. It was only a matter of when.
Right.
And of course, we didn't expect it to be this soon.
And against us, the first round.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think we've all discussed that we don't think this team, that the Blues team has anything to go very deep.
Aaron, going with that, I think we also discussed that he would be a head coach again. And then I think he will. He actually will stay as an NHL head coach. I think for quite. I'd give him a few decades.
I don't want to belabor it, but I mean the problem he had here was that the vets ran that team.
Yeah.
And he lost control of the team.
Yep. He's got vets in St. Louis too, but I mean if they're listening to him and they win a cup,
and they're still that team's they're younger still.
Right.
You know, but
so. That begs my question then, had Hitchcock still been there as coach, do you think that this might have been a little bit different series?
I don't think we'd be playing St. Louis.
Okay, if we were playing St. Louis and Hitchcock was still here, would this have been a different series?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a differently run team.
I don't think
would be worse?
I don't think so, because we saw Gunnery last time we played him in the playoffs.
But we beat him.
But true. But that's not the Wild strong suit, and we aren't putting goals in that. We haven't led for a second in this series.
Nope.
And if you can't do that and get ahead of them, you know, that's the thing with when you're playing a team like St. Louis who's going to goon it up a little bit, you need to strike first so they can't goon it up. Because if you're ahead, they have to leave some of that behind because they need to score
goals.
That's
right. They need, yeah.
And we haven't pressed them to do that.
And we've played either even or from behind the whole series ourselves. So that which has kind of tended to lead us to not being able to even play our own games. So
right.
You know. So yeah.
I mean, well, we could be playing Pekka right now, although Felska just had mentioned to us that Blackhawks finally scored a goal.
Finally. All right.
Game three in. But I don't know. I mean, would we be better off playing Nashville right now? Would we be able to score on Pekka right now?
I don't even think we need to think about that. We need to think about what's coming up. Just that one game. Let's get to that one game first.
Right? One, yes. Possibly two, maybe three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So, game four, Wild down 3-0 in the series, is happening on Wednesday night, two nights from now, in St. Louis.
Nice little break, though. I wonder if they're hanging out down in St. Louis. I hear it's a real nice town. Get some barbecue.
Get some barbecue.
Yep.
Texas barbecue is better than St. Louis barbecue. I'm just going to say it right now.
Okay.
So.
That's all right. If they come out with, play some hockey, you know. You never know.
I'm still confused about this because, Aaron, you look, there's nothing going on at Scott's trade, correct?
Right.
Why would they do game on, game off,
game on? That's NHL trying to line things up with the weekend dates and.
You know, why not do two travel dates?
Get the most bang for their buck.
Why that, not do that two make, travel make days? Them play on Easter
at two in the afternoon.
Is this gonna be a new NHL thing where like, hey, it's Easter Sunday, time to watch hockey?
No, because
Easter varies every year.
Yeah, flows all over the place. So yeah,
just wait for Batman to figure something out here.
Okay.
We're going to push the playoffs till May. They've been doing this.
They're going to petition the Vatican to switch around Easter to be on whenever real rivalry Wednesday is.
They've been doing this, though.
Get Easter Wednesday. Deal with it.
They've been doing this for the last few years where, you know, it's like the three games, and then another game. You could get seven games done within like a 2-week span, but they're extending it out by doing this.
It's not like there's conflicts at these arenas that is making them do that.
I never finished. Why give them 2 days off in St. Louis and not 2 days worth of travel and then just a day off in between the games in St. Louis and then 2 days for travel?
Because
there's nothing going on in at Scottsdale, nothing going on in St. Louis.
Scott's trade.
Whatever.
Scott trade.
Because they want to push it to the prime nights.
I mean,
it's why football is, you know.
Which is why we're playing hockey tonight on a Monday.
Or on a Sunday afternoon.
But these are only the
Sunday
teams.
Sunday afternoon, I at least get.
These are only the teams that were able to play on Thursday and Saturday, which, you know, Thursday, a lot of times, at least Thursday night, is almost considered the start of the weekend for a lot of folks. And then you've got Saturday, which is a weekend night. So,
Are you talking football now?
No.
Because the NFL is taking up Thursday night, Saturday Monday night, Sunday night.
They've got every freaking night of the week.
Not Tuesday or Wednesday yet.
What days are those?
Nobody
even knows about Tuesdays.
This is not three in the end zone.
You go to a restaurant on a Tuesday and they're like, oh my God.
Wait, we don't have specials. It's Tuesday.
You're here on a Tuesday?
Tuesday.
No, we've got specials.
No, they got tacos.
I tell you what, you buy one, we'll give you 10 free. I mean, you go to places
Tuesday.
On a Tuesday and there's deals everywhere. Those are just, you know, not mainstream days. If you look towards the prime times, it's going to be that Wednesday through Sunday and, you know, or actually Thursday through Sunday, sorry. And then each of the teams has a cap on one end or the other, the Wednesday or the Monday.
So, coming up on Wednesday.
Real rivalry Wednesday.
Real rivalry.
Do we see a sweep? And how bad if we do?
Well, I'll lose 2-1.
Is that what you're predicting?
Is that too predictable?
Nope, that's fine. that seems on par.
The Wild have been in it in every game, so it's hard for me to say, you know, flat out they're going to lose. But obviously, there's a precedent set right now, The odds are very strong the Wild are going to lose at some point, whether they lose in game four or five,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
Right. I think that the Wild are going to be able to take one there. Call me optimistic for saying that. But yeah, like you say, Aaron, I mean, they've been in every single one of these games.
We've all said that.
Right. It's not like they're being blown out of the water here. You know, a couple things bounce a little different way, and it's a total different story. That said, you know, do we have enough gusto to go, you know, 4 in a row? I highly doubt it at this point. But I do think that the Wild will not get swept.
I'm going to say if the Wild don't score first, they're going to lose the game.
That's been the big issue. Like, period. They can catch up, but they cannot hold. They have not taken a lead or held a lead ever.
Which hasn't been the problem all season long, though. I think that, you know.
But you're playing this team that isn't playing a scoring game. They're getting under your skin.
Yes.
And you have to take them off of their game. The Wild aren't doing that at all. They're feeding right into that game.
Right.
You know, the chippiness, the, you know, they're feeding totally into it.
They're following. They're not leading.
Right. And that's the way it's been.
And the Wild don't do well when they're following. They do well when they're leading.
Yep.
Whether they're even
if, everybody does well when they're leading. Well,
not necessarily. But even if the Wild,
90% of the teams that are leading at the end of the game win.
Right. Well, generally speaking.
I'd actually probably say 100% of the teams.
I don't know. I'm conservative here.
Okay.
Generally speaking, I mean, if the Wild score first, though, they've been pretty solid, because especially with the way that they've been playing against St. Louis. They can hold them to that lead. And even if St. Louis scores again, you know, they can rebound off of it knowing that they had the lead. It's these fluke goals that have gotten in on Dubnyk early.
I won't call them all flukes, but okay.
That have basically kind of put the mindset where they feel like they should be trailing all game.
Yeah.
And they play like that too.
Well, I mean, when you're playing from behind, you have to maybe. Oh, man.
Moving on.
When you're playing from behind, you have to maybe, you know, make some different, you know, adjustments to try to, you know, move things along and force the play down to the other end a little bit more. And likewise, when you have a lead, you're able to play a little bit more loosely, and you're, you know, able to make sure that you play your game, you cover your end, and then you also, though, are free, you know, you feel a little bit more free and liberated that you can, you know, move about down the ice, and that in turn helps you make plays down there. So,
time for Twitter talk, I think.
Time for Twitter.
All right, first question from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Hitchcock to Dallas, Gallant? Is it Gallant or Gallant?
I don't know.
I'm going to plead the fifth on that
Gallant.
One. Gallant.
Which, I'm saying Gallant.
Okay, we'll go with that. Which one will have a better season next year? Well, Hitchcock, this is round two with Dallas here.
He won a cup with them.
He won a cup with them, but that was like almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, it was right after they moved.
It was 99. I'm going to still say Hitchcock because the Vegas team is probably going to be terrible bad. So I'm going Hitchcock. And I don't think they're going to have a good year.
Alfred. Yep. All the way. All
right. Jive, next question.
Next question is from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Which would you trust more, Christian Folan with the puck or Matthew Dumba with the puck? Or a creepy clown with the puck?
Creepy clown.
I'm going to go Folan. I know people are down on Folan right now. I'm still high on Folan.
Wow. I think that...
Actually, Dumba played well.
Brr. Dumba played well. Fine. Yes, he controls the puck well. He can pass the puck well.
Can't control a puck unless you control the puck.
He made some very poor choices on when he was choosing to shoot the puck.
Okay, I'm going back to my original creepy clown.
I like that Dumba is willing to throw pucks towards the net and make things happen like that. I think that there's some other defensemen that could maybe do that some more. But Dumba doesn't always make the best decisions. I know we gave up one or two plays yesterday based on, you know, the shooting into somebody's shin pads and it gets blocked out to center ice and away we go. So, yeah, I'm going with the creepy clown.
Creepy clown wins.
All right.
Also from Derek. No one on this team is the greatest of all time right now. In your opinion, who has been the biggest goat of the playoffs?
Well, it's... I'm going to say... I think you've got two choices. I think you got Parise, because he's got two-thirds of our goals so far. Or you got Dubnyk, who's kept us in games.
Is that the goat?
Yeah, it would be the goat. Not the goat mom, though.
No, the goat is like the person who... unless I'm interpreting this
wrong. I was thinking the same thing. That's why I was kind of...
Okay, come explain.
Like, the goat is like...
The bad luck thing. Yeah, like, I mean, the person like Chicago.
Well, that... Yeah.
Actually, hey, Derek, if you're out there, we'll come back to this question. Can you please clarify on the goat?
No, goat. Oh, no one... See, I take goat, greatest of all time. G-O-A-T. That's where I was.
See, going. I'm going like Chicago, like the goat that put the curse on the Cubs.
I got you now.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going like goat mom, you know.
Felska, clarification.
Clarification, we'll come back to that question.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
All right, next question also.
Yeah, I don't
Way
know
to go, Jared
comes.
Boy.
Next question from also for Felska.
All
right. If the Minnesota Wild were a scene in a movie right now, what scene and which movie would it be?
The Titanic sinking.
Speed.
The bus that can't go below 55?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is that just Hansel?
No. Maybe that's why it's all blowing up.
Okay, so... Felska did correct us. Goat was the POS, not greatest of all time.
Okay.
So we can go back to that after we figure
out. I love how he throws the POS acronym in there for us.
Like we need another acronym we can't figure out.
Perfect offensive skater?
that would be Parise.
Right.
Movie. Trying to think of... Dawn of the Dead. That's what I'm going to go with.
Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
All right. Next question comes in from JBushy19. Three in the box. Tony Dean, you know, Tim Nato. Any of you guys got answers for this? But what we want to know is if you were to change the makeup of the Minnesota Wild during the off season, who do you move and bring in?
I want Erickson Ek back. I would.
Who do you move?
Who do you move?
You know, it was White before, but I want to keep White in. Honestly,
do we have White for more than a year though?
No.
Beyond this year?
Are we talking just playoffs? Or are we talking
off season?
Let me think about that then. Sorry, I was thinking playoffs, up and down. Opinions?
I definitely think that what we should do is probably move, and it probably wouldn't be a fan favorite type thing, but move somebody on one of the lower lines. It might have to end up being like a Niederreiter or, you know, maybe Coyle we've mentioned, you know, a few times here. Move one of those guys and, you know, make some room. We've got some decent young talent that's coming up through the system. And, you know, I think that I mentioned it earlier. I think Schrader's, you know, definitely ready for his turn at the big show to be like a permanent fixture here. So,
you know, if I'm trying to move someone, I'm trying to move. I think there's three guys I would try to move. If I'm trying to move someone and it's basically gonna be one of those even trade situations, kind of like Nino for for Clutterbuck a few years back. That's how I would imagine the trade we'd attempt. I'm going to try to either move Coyle, and it could be one or multiple of these guys, but, you know, Coyle, Scandella, Brodin. Those are going to be the three guys that I'm not super hot on right now. I don't think I don't think they've really been, you know, Brodin I've felt all right about, because he's at least normally solid defensively.
He is, but he doesn't stand out on the team. Like,
he's not remarkable.
Right.
I mean, even Suter gets involved in plays, even though we criticize him. Yes. I think
Suter, we've seen a different Suter in the playoffs.
He's been coached very well this whole season, actually. Yeah. And I think that's what happens when you limit his time, because
you take away those Quick Trip commercials.
Right. But those are the three I would probably try to move.
Quick Trip commercials are good, though, because that means he's taking quick shifts, right?
Yeah. No. I'm going with Coyle, Nino, and honestly, probably Aaron, I think I'm going to have to go with Scandella and agree with you on that one.
I can agree with Scandella as well.
Scandella, I think, has been playing solid in the playoffs right now, but I think if we move him, we could get a little bit better D and maybe some more prospects.
Yep.
Like, just looking at it, not as a Minnesota, like, oh, we love these guys, they've been doing well. Like, no, what can we get from them from a business standpoint? I think those three are definite trade baits.
Okay, so let's go back to Felsa's question then.
I think we already answered.
I think
that.
It was kind of
who's the GOAT?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coyle.
I don't think
you said Coyle's Hansel, right? GOAT.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we already
okay. Answered. We got a Hansel on this.
Okay.
All right.
Last question from Beth J. Palak. Who do you think at Beth J. Palak? Who do you think is the greatest likelihood to step up as a scorer besides Parisi in game four?
Probably Parisi.
Besides Parisi.
Parisi does it. Yeah. I
could see the Koivu Granny line.
Being that the Wild aren't getting anything in the middle, it's going to have to be like a breakaway or something like that. So I'm going to go with Hall or Zucker. That's going to be my choice.
Hall of more so than Zucker would, from what you're saying.
Depends on which line either one of those guys get put on, because you never know. And I think that, I mean, not to totally dredge up this stuff, but I think that's been also another thing is Boudreau did move around lines. You know, Zucker came back and he got put back with Granny and Koivu, and that line hasn't been doing jack.
No, but you move Hall up to that line, you get the Finns back again, and I could see one of those three having an open opportunity. Yeah. Or I could see somebody on the fourth line, but again, that would also maybe include Hall up, where, and again, Aaron, this is going back to you with a breakaway. I think Hall is going to have a point on it, whether an assist or a goal, but I can see him being involved.
And I actually think that the scoring is going to come from the defense. We'll probably get some, you know, sort of a screen going on out front, possibly, but probably like a Dumba or a Suter from out at the point.
Yeah.
All right.
There you have it. Twitter talk.
There you have it.
I think we got a show.
The Wild season.
Not yet.
Okay. We need the loser horn right there. Yeah.
All right.
They're not done yet.
They aren't done yet. Have faith, folks. Yeah. Have faith.
Don't listen to us.
Yeah.
Well, wait. No, listen to us. But
listen to us, but
don't listen to Kenny.
Hey.
Don't drink our Kool-Aid. That's all we're saying.
Don't drink our Kool-Aid, right?
That's our Kool-Aid. How else are we going to kill ourselves?
Shoelaces.
That would be a bad way to go, man. Shoelaces.
So I think that's a show, since I don't really think we want to get into this topic.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
The therapist's office, apparently. I know you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at NostraKennius. And, yeah, that's pretty much where you can find my social interaction.
And Jive.
All right, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You follow us on Twitter at Throwing the Box. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3A2B. We have at least one show left.
At least
one more.
And we'll probably do a couple more.
We don't know what night that's going to be yet.
We got a show on. We were moving up a night on Sunday night next week.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
So we're moving that one up, and we'll probably have a couple more as the playoffs go on.
Well, hopefully we got more after that.
Well, we'll at least do some general house cleaning episodes, and we've got a 3-in-the-box barbecue coming up. We'll do another podcast over the summer. So we'll have some other podcasts coming up even after this last one. But, you know, stick around. You know, send us those hashtag 3ITB tweets. We'll still read them because we love you guys. You can listen to our podcast on our website, 3inthebox.com, or through your favorite podcast player, iTunes, Google Play Store. And that's it. Thanks, guys.